It is June 16th, 2021, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Karen Sandros, our clerk, had a conference today, so our deputy clerk, Kim Jacobus, is here, and Ms. Kohler is dialed in. Everyone else is present. Would you please stand for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our first responders, our healthcare heroes, and our servicemen and women.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we start with the presentation of the minutes. The minutes of May 19th, regular and executive session have been tabled. So we have before us the minutes of the June 2nd regular meeting and executive session meeting. If anyone has any comments or corrections or a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for June 2nd, regular and executive session.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Sorry, Beth.
Yes.
Thanks. And with that, we would move to open the meeting for public comment, limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to open this meeting to public comment, limited to agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Second.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, reminding everyone the meeting is recorded and posted on the website. Please state your name and the road you live on, and if you're on the phone, you'll probably need to press star 6 to unmute yourself. There's a comment in the room.
Should be on.
Ron Mikowski, Rockford Road. I just have a question on the voter grant application. That's been completed and filed, or this has been going on for over a month.
When grant for
the loader.
No, we're still involved with that. A few things we have to straighten out between the DEP and ourselves, which I think the administrator will review later tonight.
Okay. And the other question, I know it's under executive session, just the American Tower. I assume it's our
municipal complex.
Issues that you can just say anything or no?
I think we publicly announced that we've been approached through American Tower for AT&T to co-locate on it.
Okay.
So we're just working out those terms.
Yeah, we're negotiating that contract.
That's good. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Star 6 on the phone. Seeing none, hearing none. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And now it's our pleasure to have two proclamations for Eagle Scout recipients. The first recipient, Eric Axelson. Eric became an Eagle Scout on August 26, 2020. For his Eagle project, Eric chose to serve his community and his passion for baseball by creating and constructing a bullpen at the Voorhees High School baseball stadium for the Viking baseball team to use, as well as the community at large, who would also use the stadium. Eric is a graduating senior at Voorhees High School. I believe graduation was today. Congratulations on that as well. Where he is active as a member of the baseball team, Eric will continue his studies in the fall of 2021 at Moravian University, where he will study business and sports management. So we have a proclamation for Eric Axelson describing a little bit of what I just read out about the project that he did, noting that he will be receiving his award at a Eagle Scout Court of Honor recognition ceremony on June 21st, this coming Monday. Therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon hereby extend their congratulations to Eagle Scout Eric Axelson for having an Eagle Scout Award conferred upon him by the Boy Scouts of America. Is there a motion to endorse the proclamation?
I make a motion to endorse the proclamation.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And second, Harry Spurduto. Harry Spurduto became an Eagle Scout on March 30th, 2021. For his Eagle project, Harry chose to serve his community and his passion for educating others by creating and constructing an outdoor garden and planting center at Valley View School in Lebanon Township. His project is for the elementary grades to use to enhance the curriculum at the school. Harry is a graduating senior, also graduated today, at Voorhees High School, where he is active as a principal performer in the drama club, participating in several stage productions each year. Harry will continue his studies in the fall of 2021 at SUNY Cortland, State University of New York, as a student in the Bachelor of Fine Arts program studying musical theater and theater. Proclamation for Harry Sperduto, again, states some of the topics that I just mentioned. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon hereby extend their congratulations to Eagle Scout Harry Sperduto for having an Eagle Scout Award conferred upon him by the Boy Scouts of America. Is there a motion to endorse the proclamation?
I'll make a motion to endorse the proclamation.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Congratulations to both of them, and it will be Mark Wall and my pleasure to be at their Court of Honor on Monday. A couple of resolutions. The first resolution, 59-2021, governing body certification of the annual audit, basically certifying that all of us individually read the audit. I would point out it highlights specifically that we've read the comment section. Page 139 states that there are no material weaknesses in the township's financial controls. No material non-compliance items were discovered, and no recommendations made by the audit. So it's a completely clean audit report. Any discussion anyone would like to have? Or is there a motion to adopt Resolution 59-2021?
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 59-2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then Resolution 60-2021, renewing the plenary retail consumption license. This is for El Patron Mexican Restaurant. The fees have been paid. Everything is in order. Any discussion or motion to adopt Resolution 60-2021?
I'll make a motion to adopt.
If no discussion, go ahead.
Nope, it's fine.
Deb, you
say, if no discussion, I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 60-2021, the plenary retail consumption license for El Patron.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And another resolution, plenary retail license, Resolution 61-2021. The fees have been paid. Everything is in good order. This is for the New Hampton Inn. Any discussion or emotion?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution number 61-2021.
Second.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to old business. First item is Lebanon Township Fire Department request for their 2021 donation.
Yeah, they're looking for their donation from the township. On the back page, I wrote the amount of that, which is $95,000. That can be found on the budget on line item 25255-2. So they're asking us to get that going, the annual donation, at this time.
Is there a motion to approve the annual donation, $95,000, to the fire department?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Next is the Loader grant application. We touched on that briefly.
I'll give you an update on it. With regards to the Loader application grant, I spoke to the representative from the DEP with regards to the grant, and I know we really want to purchase this 544P loader, but if we purchase it ahead of time or put any money down ahead of time, that could kill the grant. So I spoke to the, I mean, I emailed back and forth today with the representative from the DEP, and he said the application, the signatures will take about 2 to 4 weeks. That was 2 weeks ago, so I'm looking at 2 weeks from now. I spoke to the DBW director. He's okay, you know, with us holding off. But the one question he did ask me was, could we start the PO process? I checked with the DEP, and they said that's okay to go forward with that. So that's where we are right now with it. So I'll tell the DPD director, tomorrow that he can proceed forward with the purchase order.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Next item is end of COVID emergency procedures. Through the attorney, we all received the email that the state legislature passed legislation A5820 ending the COVID-19 state of emergency as of July 4th, if I'm reading this correctly, which then raised a couple of questions that I wanted to discuss publicly. One was, for example, can we continue the dial-in as a convenience to the residents? The attorney tells us.
Yes, because I believe there's authority outside of those executives, those executive orders. However, there are concerns as to the equal access to it that we need to address. I mean, the emergency order allowed us to do it as basically a necessity, but therefore I'd have to confer with the clerk, with Karen, with some issues that have been raised in other municipalities and dealing with those issues of equal access.
So do we need a committee view on whether we want to continue that, or how do we?
Well, it's certainly not mandatory.
Right.
There's no longer a mandate to do it because, as committee's aware, we're open. And people who want to participate can come here and do so. There's a full-scale debate as to whether or not the authority exists to continue to do so. And there's a difference between, again, the governing body and the land use boards. There's a different standard because the MLUL gets called into service with regard to any land use planning meetings and the testimony, the sworn testimony that occurs there, and the lengthy presentations that are given. So, there would no longer be any requirement to provide that, and there are additional concerns that we do need to address coming out of the emergency that we would have to provide for, particularly again with accessibility for all. There's issues that arise.
Okay, so that I that was new to me in this meeting. I guess there's a discussion we should have. Yeah. Do we want to continue?
That's the threshold question, yeah.
And I mean, I hear some towns putting in very expensive systems and you know, spending a lot of money in order to comply with these requirements. Would you see that, or is it notification issues? Or I mean, let me put it, the safest way from a statutory requirement would be to say we go back to the way we
right.
were
that's
18
the,
months
that,
ago.
That's the baseline, absolutely.
We discontinue the dial-in for the public. If we continue the dial-in for the public, I'm hearing that we'll have to address certain issues that we don't even know what those issues are at the moment.
Some of the issues
we
are...
Some
correct. Some of the issues have to do with people who have limited access to because of technology or because of any kind of accommodation they might need, whether they're hearing impaired or something along those lines. And if we're going to make it a public accommodation, we would have to address that. So as opposed to making our meetings available online as we do so people can monitor what goes on, this is different. This has to do with the actual participation. Mm-hmm. And if we are going to make it a participatory avenue, we have to ensure that it's participatory for all.
Mm-hmm.
This has been an ongoing discussion in our local government attorneys group for several weeks now as we knew these were all coming. Again, there's a completely separate conversation for land use boards, and then there's the removal of the emergency, but then the existing authority to have, we've had other instances where members in particular may participate electronically.
Mm-hmm.
The additional requirements and the additional, what I would say, certainly cost outlay will be if we're going to allow public participation electronically, however you want to deem that.
There'll be cost, and there are concerns, again, concerns that don't arise when we're here in the room and it occurs in the room. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I guess theoretically it could arise if somebody was hearing impaired in the room. We would have to provide some kind of accommodation.
Well, it sounds to me almost like we should discontinue it for now, and if you want to study it and think about it and see what the costs are and the implications and just make a decision down the road.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, I had issues raised by other towns that I have not confronted. And, again, this was one of them and how that's addressed. Mm-hmm. It's not something we've faced, at least here.
I was leading the same way. Given that our next meeting is July 7th, which is after the emergency is over, and we don't even know what we would have to do to be compliant July 7th, rather than try to keep the current setup without knowing what the rules are, I think we have no, like, it feels to me like practically we need to go back to what we had done, where we know we are safe, so to speak, and then investigate what it would take to what would be required.
Yeah, and there may become an expenditure decision that you need to make. I mean, you're correct that there are towns that have invested significant funds, multiple cameras, multiple microphones, just to make it, because, and there have been a lot of difficulties. We all know that. I mean, we've been fairly fortunate here, mm-hmm. but a lot of towns' meetings have been hijacked. And I've been present for that and a lot of other things. But, these are recent issues as everybody's rushing to normalcy, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I'm... This issue of technology, that people may not have the technology to call in, pretty hard to believe in this day and age that somebody doesn't have the technology to call in. Whereas if I reversed it and said there's probably more people who physically cannot get here that would like to be here at the meeting, that having an ability to call in would benefit them. I think there are, you know, real issues on both sides. If we take the position that if they can't make it in here, it's too bad, I don't know how that's any more fairer than telling somebody who doesn't have technology it's too bad.
Well, I don't know that we're taking that position. Again, what we're doing is returning to baseline, so to speak. And I'm not saying that, you know, there can be issues. Again, I completely agree. Can be issues that present here in the room with regard to that, Abe, as you said. I mean, it could be simply physical access. It could be, we could certainly deal with an accommodation of someone that's hearing impaired or visually impaired. There's no guarantee that the physical room eliminates any of those issues also. I absolutely agree. Again, what we're just... to reframe it, though, we're talking about simply returning to standard order, which, not saying that's perfect, but that is standard order. And we've obviously deviated from that for quite some time now based on the events.
I know what Abe is saying, and I would like that in the real world, but you have to do it right and make sure it's compliant legally at the same time. And we'd have to see what that's all about before we would, you know, it's, how many people are going to be on, and what if it's going to cost us $100,000 to have a phone system to, you know, accommodate a couple of people only because that's what the law says we have to do?
Yeah, I think it's a quagmire, no matter how you look at it. And I don't know if it's,
right.
it's a legal one or a government-created one. It's one of those silly things where the government screws everything up. But I understand.
And the other, just, do we need to take a motion to go back to baseline, or is it just the law sends us back to baseline, and unless we take action, we are?
Yes, but I think that it would probably be instructive to the clerk with regard to our meeting notice that at least they'd be addressed from that perspective.
So I would agree with Bev's proposal that we we return to baseline in terms of we don't offer the phone while we figure out what would be required to make that available. I also agree with Abe.
But how about with the caveat that if one of the committee can't come in, they can call on the phone?
That's an existing carve-out. And there is a permissive availability to do that. There's already established precedent that a member, as long as they have access to everything that's being reviewed or considered and can hear everything that's occurring, they can participate by phone. That we've had that going back years.
Okay.
That's established precedent right now. We don't have to pass on that.
So
it's already in
public.
That's
And we will continue to record the meetings and post them on the website as promptly as feasible and provide the information to people. It's really just the participation that is being lost. So, Bev, would you like to make that motion or any other discussion?
Sure. So, make the motion to go back to business as usual without having a dial-in number at the meeting.
You broke up right at the end, but I think we heard the motion.
I'll make a motion that, given that the governor's orders have ended, that we will go back to business as usual, and our meetings will be held in public, and there will be no phone dial-in for the public. And I don't know if you want to add while we study that, or just leave it at that for now.
I think for the motion we leave it at that, and separately we deal work with the clerk on follow-up action.
Second. That sounds good.
I'll second it.
Mark seconded. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So unfortunately, until we figure things out, this will be the last dial-in meeting that we're able to offer. Next is discussion of recycling fees. So a couple of meetings ago, we received information from Joanne Fasinelli, our recycling coordinator, and I followed up to get some more details as we discussed in the meeting and provided everyone with an email with some of that background. So the background information is that we fund, this is specific to electronics recycling, we fund that with our grant, our recycling grant, which is about $4,000 a year. Roughly $2,000 of the grant is used for the actual electronics recycling. We have to pay the people who unload some people's cars and the like. And for the last few years, we've offered, without charge, people could bring in unlimited number of air conditioners. Some call it free on units, but for whatever reason, the vendor that we use doesn't charge for the dehumidifiers. They only charge for the air conditioners. So the numbers you see are specific to air conditioners. Over the last couple of years, from 2017 to 2020, the number of air conditioners that we received went from 72 to 114, and we get charged $20 an air conditioner. So last year, $2,280 was used for air conditioner recycling, and we went a little bit over the grant, and then it gets charged to the buildings and grounds budget. Discussion was launched earlier this year that we want to consider tire recycling. We've worked that out. The precise numbers are difficult to really model, but what Joanne tells us is that a good estimate would be for the Holloway charge for a tire dumpster plus 16 tons of tires that go into the dumpster, which would be a little bit on the high end because it depends whether they're big tires or little tires and how many actually fit, but that's a reasonable number from experience. That would be $2,400 for a dumpster to recycle tires. And, of course, we don't know how many tires we're going to get. So Joanne's question is, if we do nothing, if we don't limit things, we could expect about a $2,000 or $2,500 overrun. She talked to Warren, who said he could probably absorb that into his buildings and grounds budget. We all know at the end of the year, some budgets are up and down. We could take general funds and still collect without limit air conditioners and tires. assuming the number of air conditioners doesn't materially jump up from where it's been the last couple of years. This was discussed Monday night at the Environmental Open Space Commission meeting to try to get their guidance on it. They, on one hand, they see the higher value of the town absorbing that cost because it keeps tires off people's property. There, you know, we know there are mosquito hazards, there are fire hazards if you get too big a pile, etc. They're unsightly. Air conditioners, better to have people turn them in rather than dump them on the side of the road or let them sit for years in their garage and the Freon escapes. So that's one view that says for a few thousand dollars, it's probably a good service to the residents and it's the right thing to do environmentally. But the consensus view of the EOSC was they would be comfortable limiting the number of air conditioners that actually not air conditioners, they didn't want to put a limit on, but for tires, they thought if we say a limit of four tires per resident, that would be a reasonable starting place. And I'm rambling a little bit, but Joanne also brought up the idea that if we say four tires when you show up, but if you think you've got a big pile of tires in your farm or wherever, call ahead of time, make an appointment, and if we find at the end of the day or the day after that we've got room in the dumpster, we would accommodate as many tires as people reasonably would want to bring. Part of the thought of that is somebody shows up with 30 tires, they're going to hold the line up while we're unloading tires. So the question is whether we want to charge for tires, whether we want to charge for air conditioners. If we do want to charge for tires or air conditioners, we need to get that into a fee ordinance before October, because right now we don't have the means to charge for that. Or does the committee want to fund it out of the general budget?
The only thing I'm thinking about with tires is a commercial tire and a residential tire. You get this huge tire, it kind of off-balances the dumpster to me, you know? So is there a limitation on that?
By the way, I have here what Warren County, flyer for Warren County for their tire recycling. For automobile and SUV tires without rims, where they measure it up to a 22-inch size, they charge $2.50 a tire. Commercial tires without rims up to 24 inches, they charge $5. And farm equipment, they call it tires up to 50 inches, but I assume if you have a backhoe, like a tractor tire,
right,
they charge $10 each for tires. All of those without rims, the vendor she's talking about takes rims or on or off the rim.
Same price.
Well, it's by the pound, so the rim price will be higher, but I don't know how to estimate.
My next question is, do you think one dumpster is enough for tires?
Well, and that we have to talk to Warren.
Because
I mean,
we don't know who's coming.
I think that's a good point. Warren, in the past for these events, is able to stockpile for a few days at the DPW building, whether it's electronics or the dumpster days. So I'm sort of thinking, although we got to double check that with Warren, if we run over a dumpster, he could stockpile. I think he told me that in the past. He could stockpile, and if we get enough for another dumpster coming in later in the week, we could fill it. Of course, roughly $2,000 for the next dumpster.
Okay.
I find it hard to believe that anybody would get upset about, especially if they have tires laying around, to get rid of them for $200 each.
Yeah, really.
I mean, that's
Can you speak up?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was saying that it's hard to imagine that anybody who has a bunch of tires laying around would be upset about paying $2.50 each to get rid of them. I mean, I would do that gladly to get rid of tires. So,
I think the evidence would show us that for $20, people will dump an air conditioner over the side. Not a lot of people, but some people.
Right.
And off the road, the tires are out there, and there are places you can go for $2.50, and they're not going. So I think there are some people who won't pay. If they don't have to, they won't pay. But I take your point. We're not going to eliminate every member of the public who comes. It's just a question of what we want to do or not do.
It's really, as far as I'm concerned, it's a toss.
One thing, though.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you do this, you better make sure you check the papers that people bring there that prove that they're residents.
Yes.
Because I know sometimes I think that's a little loose, and you know, in a case like this, you don't want to have people from out of town coming here.
I know for the air conditioners, they're pretty they're diligent about that.
Mm-hmm. You know,
there are ways around, which obviously I won't mention it, but it's obvious how you can game the systems.
As I was saying, I think it's, to me, it's kind of a toss-up. If there's money in the budget, it may be worthwhile for the first time because there's so many backup tires sitting around.
That's
nice to get them.
I think we
to get them out.
Yeah.
You know, once they're out, I don't think we're going to have a huge number of tires next go around. But at least we'll get rid of them.
And it keeps it out of the rivers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, quite frankly, they're going to be found there.
I think we should try it.
I think for $2,000 to $4,000 out of the general budget above the grant amount,
yeah.
Personally, I think we should do it.
I agree.
But I do, since we don't know what's coming at us with tires, I think we should put a limit of, I don't know, four or six or whatever people think.
That's fine, four or six. But then if you have a little bit larger amount, you call in.
Exactly.
Reserve a spot,
yes.
That potentially, if the dumpster's not full, you have a chance to put more in there.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Exactly. But sort of, yeah, not that you can't bring more tires, but sort of by appointment if you have more tires.
Yeah, first come, first serve for the extras.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the refrigerant, you know, I think at the end of the day, we just keep taking, I mean, because refrigerant is changing. It's now getting to be actually a low flammable gas. People do something stupid, they could almost blow themselves up with air conditioners now.
Oh.
So it's becoming an issue with actually service guys making sure they're carrying, you know, fire extinguishers with them on the roofs, where it never was a consideration because usually refrigerant was an asphyxiant and would put out fires. Now it's causing them. So I would definitely try to make sure people don't do something stupid with it and and cause more hazards.
And I would agree with that. I think for $20, the number of units we're getting, it's, you know, it is good for the ozone layer and everything else to
mm-hmm.
to encourage those to come in,
mm-hmm.
and any little friction on bringing those in,
with
making sure that we're making sure these are for residents. I mean, we don't want to be the regional depot for for air conditioners
or tires.
Yeah. I should mention the county has been taking tires and air conditioners, and Joanne told me that they've run out of funds to keep taking it. So in their future events, we'll see a little change. I don't know if they're going to be taking tires and air conditioners until they get more funding. So it is an issue, but it's important we get them out of there. So would somebody like to make a motion that at electronics recycling and at whichever event we take, because I'm not sure, I don't think the tires are going to be at electronics recycling. That'll be at the
cleanup day.
But the policy for 2021 would be to continue to accept without charge for residents only Freon containing units, and for tires without charge, four or six.
How about a fee for over four? First four are free. Anything over that, a charge.
We just debated that, and we're having no charge is what we're
saying,
the current motion.
More for a fee, and we encourage people to come with tires. First four is free. After that, $2 a tire.
We're saying.
I'm kind of leaning towards four tires because I just feel we're going to get tires. That's just my feeling. I could be wrong. And you have the opportunity to put a couple more in if we don't fill it.
Yeah. So show up limited.
Is this something that is going to be a reoccurring event for a couple of years?
I mean, that's up to the committee.
Yeah.
But I think
nice.
It really depends on how many come in. Mm-hmm. I think if we see a lot of tires out there, it makes a lot of sense to clear them out.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Bring them in. And
I mean, I'm negotiable. Four, six, I mean, but I just...
I'm just looking...
I have no idea how many tires are out there.
Let's say four tires and more than four by appointment.
There you go.
So call if you have more than four tires.
Okay.
And we'll work out the details of who to call. So I'm looking to... Kim, has that motion been stated accurately enough that someone could now just say, I make that motion?
Did you make that motion?
No, I just articulated that.
It was pretty good. I thought it was
conceptual motion.
I don't think I was wanting to repeat it.
That's what I'm asking. Do we have it?
Because if so, I'll make the motion. If good enough, it's.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so now that we got through the hard one, okay. I'll turn it over to Abe and I have been the subcommittee for cannabis. The cannabis ordinance issues, and I'll turn it over to Abe to give
thank you
background sort of thing.
So we've looked at what various towns around us have done. Some towns have allowed everything. I think West Amwell and Flemington has allowed everything, and I think also Phillipsburg. And then a number of towns around us nixed everything and do not allow any class 1 through class 6. So the easiest thing for us to do would, of course, be to not allow anything from Class 1 through Class 6. But I think that Lebanon Township has some things going for it that maybe we might want to consider allowing Class 5 and Class 6. And that is that our business district is at the very edge of Lebanon Township, down on Route 31. And it's a relatively small business district, so it's not going to have a lot of potential businesses go in there. And if we want, we can limit a single business, for example, to go in there. But so many townships around us have decided not to allow anything. And the fact that Route 31 is a corridor, it offers an opportunity to make some money for the township if there's a single place there that's going to sell it. They're going to get it anyway. You know, people are allowed to get it anyway and deliver to your door. So no matter what we do, it's not going to stop the use of cannabis in the township. And because it's on Route 31, it's going to be a lot of transients stopping and buying. Of course, there'll be some locals there, but it does give the township an opportunity to at least make something out of this thing, rather than simply say nothing. At least that is my opinion. That I think we would do well to allow it on that business district, again at the very edge of the township, not in the center of it, and most of it'll be transients. I'm certain as they go up Route 31, going home. Stop and buy whatever it is that they want to buy. So that's what I think is currently the recommendation, if I'm correct, and up for discussion.
Well, wait a minute. Abe, you left out the third option, which is to temporarily opt out while we study it and the Cannabis Commission comes up with the rules that they haven't come up with and that we can opt in at any time after that.
I'm not sure what we're waiting for the Cannabis Commission to come up with for this kind of a thing, and I don't know what we're going to study. It's a pretty simple situation. I don't think anything is going
really
to change.
And I agree with Abe, everything he said. I would add another little twist to it. My personal view on this type of regulation is that if there's not a good reason to prevent it, then the people who own those businesses on Highway 31, I mean, we're making a decision. Do we tell them we're not going to let you have your full value, we're going to restrict you because for whatever reason? Or are we going to say we don't see, like the reason Dave said, we don't see it impacting our community because it's at the very edge. In fact, we could potentially get some tax revenue. No idea how much. I mean, we 2% of sales, but I have no idea how much that's going to be. In the past week or so, I've talked to the police chief to get his view on, does he see this being a crime problem because it's marijuana? And he said, honestly, not. I tried to push. I said, you know, do we see black market dealers coming in? He said, the last place they're going to go is to a licensed parking lot. So it's going to be, as we've heard from the various police, they're very worried about driving under the influence, driving while impaired. But whether we have a retail store on Highway 31 or not doesn't impact because it's going to be delivered and it's around.
Pick up the phone and it comes right to your door.
So I don't like quoting people when they're not here, but he told me, you know, I discussed it. I told him why I'm asking it. He had no opposition if that's where we located it. So a couple other subtleties to this, as I've now learned over, you know, we sent out to everyone the West Amwell ordinance, which was actually done by Gebhardt and Kiefer, so we have great expertise here. They are also zoning medical dispensaries. And early in this topic, everything's been evolving. Early in the topic, I didn't realize we could zone medical dispensaries. Turns out we have limited ability to regulate medical dispensaries, but we can zone where they're going. Am I saying that correctly, Matt?
Yes, you are, Mayor.
So I think even if we went for the full ban, I mean, we have an ordinance that we're going to have to do for cannabis. I think we still probably want to say medical dispensaries we'd like to see on Highway 31.
Right, in the business
zone. In the business zone.
Right.
So to me, we're doing something. I think I don't see any reason not to allow Class 5, Class 6, which is delivery headquarters, in our B2 zone. A couple of other things that have come up. There is also something called micro businesses. And now this is, I'm getting a little bit, but just so we all, there are a few things that we, you know, have been evolving over the weeks or that the lawyers found deep in the legislation. But there is a cannabis micro business category, which apparently is a state definition, meaning employing no more than 15 employees, operating cannabis establishment, an area no more than 2,500 square feet, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, all well defined in what we sent you. I don't know that we are in a position to allow micro businesses outside of the Highway 31. But the thing is this, we are getting more and more information that we would want to think about hard in the next couple of weeks before the next meeting. Am I missing anything, Matt, else that you would want to highlight for us?
No, I mean, again, it's a discretionary decision by this township committee. And as you can see by the things that have been forwarded and the things that Abe has referenced, different towns in this general vicinity are making different decisions. They're making decisions that they feel align with the needs of their communities. And it is all over the map, as Abe and the mayor have indicated. It's, you know, different towns have made different decisions. So I just need, if we're going to take action, I need guidance or direction shortly, because we are the one thing we are running against the August deadline to take action, or else they will all be deemed permitted.
And to be clear, we're not taking action tonight. We're providing guidance. The timeline that we have is for July 7th to introduce, to give the 35-day window, since it's land use, for the planning board to review or have input. And, of course, we'd want to get their input in order to make the August 18th.
And just meeting. For the record, we've had a joint meeting with them on the topic. Mm-hmm. Not that that's dispositive, but just if anybody who wasn't present at that meeting should know that we had a lengthy meeting on these issues with the combined memberships.
And just to reiterate, the consensus that came out from the planning board as well as this committee was that the rules and potential impact from license 1 through 4, which is growing, manufacturing, etc., are too uncertain. Water issues, air issues, traffic issues, we don't know what those rules are, and we're the consensus is to ban those licenses in our town completely. It's really, we're looking for a consensus of whether we come back next week with a draft ordinance allowing retail and delivery businesses to operate in our B2 zone.
I don't think delivery we have a choice in, right?
Yeah.
The headquarters of delivery. So if somebody has a store and a delivery, they could have the dual license.
So is there an idea of how many retail facilities would be capable of in this town?
Say that again?
How many retail businesses would Lebanon Township care to have?
It's up to us to decide.
Yeah, that's your decision.
Yeah.
I will say it's important to note that from my read of the state statute, the micro licenses, that the state's not going to cap them, that they're designed for because of their limited
and they, they're limited to
footprint.
1,000 pounds a month or
correct.
Something like
correct.
That?
Correct. But we can still zone them, correct?
You can limit them within the borders.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you
well,
can,
the state's not going to limit them.
Correct.
I mean. Okay.
Correct.
So we could still
take no action, expect that there could be I don't know. This is all uncharted water. I don't know how many we could expect in that regard.
So we could put medical, the mini, whatever it is.
Micro businesses
and the retail business all in the B2 zone and then decide how many are allowed.
With the caveat that we have much less flexibility to regulate the medical. We can regulate it, but we can't limit it to the extent we can.
We can limit it just to the B2 zone?
I believe we can.
Oh.
I don't believe you can cap the number if you meet all the other requirements.
Well,
it's probably going to be a de facto cap. You know that
there's not much room down
right,
there.
Right, it's understood. It's a practical cap.
Yeah,
but it's not a hard cap.
Right. I mean, you're not going to see all kinds of businesses spring up down there.
Bev, why don't you take the floor?
What I was going to say is that I don't want to mislead the public here because the planning board, when we had that joint meeting, the planning board advised the township committee to opt out of all of this for now until they can study it. Dick Cushing, the president of the New Jersey Institute of Local Government Attorneys, Matt Foss, and the New Jersey
excuse me, I'm Dick's boss now.
Huh?
He's not my boss anymore, but I get your point.
Oh, okay, but you know, you've got two nonprofits, the New Jersey League of Municipalities and the New Jersey Institute of Local Government Attorneys, strongly urging people to opt out of this for now, because the thing is the home rule is one of the things that's going to be a problem. There's 565 municipalities, all with different personalities and cultures and the way they're set up, and the Cannabis Commission right now is ruling over all of them, just, you know, one-man rule up there. So, and that's one of the – I've been listening to on the meetings, and that's some of the biggest complaints that are coming out of the mayors that are in these meetings. You've got to give us home rule because we don't want to be guinea pigs for 5 years and find out we're stuck.
That is a valid point. I don't believe it's been stated tonight that if we do – take action to permit or take no action and allow to be permitted, that it is a 5-year safe harbor for those businesses.
And if we take no action where we don't approve it, we can opt back in. Like if we opt out of anything, we have the ability to opt in 6 months?
Correct. There's no reverse safe harbor where we reverse limitation on time frame for the township committee to act again. Correct.
I have a different opinion than the gentleman here tonight. I prefer if the township would opt out for now. I do get the revenue stream that you're looking at. I understand that. I just feel as so many neighbors have decided not to. I know it's an enticing business opportunity when everyone else is out and you jump in, but I also want to be a good neighbor to the people all around us too. We share that highway, so I'm one that would believe we should opt out and look a little bit deeper into this as a township before we opt into retail. That's my feeling.
And let me add to that, the revenue, from what I'm finding out about the revenue part of this, and Matt, you might be able to correct me, but I'm hearing this from really good sources that the tax on the medical marijuana is going to disappear after 2 years, and what's going to happen is it's going to be cheaper to buy medical marijuana, and the people that are doing recreational are going to get their cards, and they're going to buy medical, and you're not going to have as much in the recreational end of things.
But what you're saying is it's unstoppable, is really what you're saying, and that's my point. It's unstoppable. So
I get that it's unstoppable, but at the same time, there's a lot of impact here that, I mean, even 6 months, give us 6 months, 3 months, it depends, again, on the Cannabis Commission, but it just seems to me irresponsible. If this was a year that we could like, go into it for a year, we don't like it, okay, we're going to leave. Not only is it not a year, it's 5 years, and then anybody who's already got a business here, you can't kick them out. They're grandfathered. So if we start having all kinds of problems, we're going to be stuck. I'd rather let somebody like Somerville, who's gung-ho to do this, or some of the other places,
be the guinea pigs while we wait and watch a little bit. I really don't feel we're going to lose an opportunity, because if they want to be here, they're going to be here. And I like that ordinance that came out of Clinton, because the first paragraph really talks about, hey, you guys, we're seriously considering this. We just need more time.
Bev, when you refer to all the problems that could happen for retail and delivery, what problems are you foreseeing?
Well, you could have traffic problems. First of all, that's one thing I'm hearing a lot of, that people are coming and going out of these businesses. If for some reason they're smoking up in the parking lot, bang, right out on the road. This is a lot of what I'm hearing. And the problems, again, to me, it's more about the home rule, and I don't even know what that's going to be at this point. The fact that we don't have home rule. We might have zoning ordinances, but they could be overruled by the Cannabis Commission. You guys do what you want, because you probably have your votes, but what I'll do is I'll gather all my information, and when we introduce the ordinance at the 7th meeting, I'll have all my ducks in a row.
So I have a question. I go into the retail business and I order whatever I'm ordering. Is it a credit card that pays for it? Is it cash that pays for it? How does that work? It's a federal offense still. Is there any stipulation with credit cards?
What I've heard is that they have debit cards in the store.
So there's not a pile of cash sitting in them stores. That's what I'm getting at.
They're trying to avoid the pile of cash.
Right, okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just saying perhaps a happy medium is to make it a conditional use in the B2 zone. At least that way it'll go to the planning board.
Yeah, I was going to assume conditional use in any case.
Okay. So we would have conditional use in the B2 zone, limited to a certain number. Medical is going to go somewhere, for sure. And
so
Class 6 is going to be somewhere, for sure, whether we like it or not. So that's going to happen. So the only issue is the retail that's going to be down there. And if we, again, if it's a conditional use, it's up to the planning board to decide for traffic and all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And you can ask all those questions at the planning board, and if you don't like it, don't approve it.
And that's why I refer you again to the West Amwell. They go down to the signage. No cannabis leaves on the sign.
Odor,
no
screening.
Nothing that's glorifying.
No. I hear you there.
Paraphernalia in the windows not allowed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would make it conditional use in any case.
Well, that's a little bit more palatable.
We're trying to come to a happy medium.
Well, I've heard, too, that that's part of that home rule situation, because even if we, for example, and I don't know all the ins and outs of these businesses, but if for some reason you have a problem with one of them in any way, maybe it's the signage, maybe it's the lighting, you may get overruled. Is what I'm hearing.
But then
you guys should be listening to those meetings. You should really, if you're doing this, you should be listening to those cannabis calls when they're out. I think July 7th is the next one.
If the state assumes control over home rule, then it really doesn't matter what we're doing here, because they're going to make the decision. So that really doesn't have a bearing on this.
Well, yes, it does, because you're going to have to live with it.
Well, I understand that, but we have to live with a lot of things coming out of the state.
My expectation is if all these communities do exactly that and opt out, that will force the state to say, forget it, we're taking over. So if there aren't towns that say, hey, this is what we're accepting and this is giving the options, the state will do exactly that. It'll override it all. So I think we have to make some kind of stance that, okay, we've thought about it, we've made a decision, this is the direction we think is acceptable for our community. These areas, because of water and everything else, isn't acceptable. I've seen it in other industries where the people just kind of like put their hands up and say, well, we'll just ignore it. And then the state just says, well, then if you're ignoring it, we'll make the decision for you. And we might not like that decision.
I don't think the other communities are ignoring it. I think that what they're trying to do is bide their time and see where it goes. I mean, I think everyone has discussed this cannabis situation like we are here, so I don't think that they're ignoring it, but I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
I think they're just kicking the can.
Well,
a little bit, you know.
Matt, is it
there may
possible?
Be some that do that.
Can a year from now or 6 months from now, could the state legislature override zoning requirements that were put in right now because they just want to increase the availability?
I mean, the state law has given us this authority. So the authority, again, we've been talking about this for months.
Yeah.
There are some juxtaposed situations in that they're saying it's legal, but they're allowing us on the local level to prohibit it. So we have that home decision to make. Could they make it a permissible use, a legal use, and remove our authority to prohibit it? I mean, in theory, yes, but I mean, okay. This is a bill that took how many years and how many permutations and how much horse trading to get to the point where it is now, and it was still, you know, touch and go day to day, week to week. So I mean, I can't speak to the probability of it. If you ask me, is there some point in the future in New Jersey where it's a permitted use or a conditional use in every municipality, subject to the master plan and the zoning map? It's theoretically possible.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's theoretically possible. It's not the current state of the law.
Yeah.
And again, the movement to this was tortured.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a.
But if they find that 9 out of 10 municipalities across New Jersey have banned it entirely, theoretically they could next session say, you know, we obviously gave the local groups too much say.
Jeez, I think
we're now going to tighten it. Or
I think there'd be certainly ramifications if they were to do that. It's almost like you're zoning regionally. Yeah,
I think Tom's right. I think that was one of the reasons of the home rule, you can ban it, compromise, which was to ensure there was enough votes to pass it. I mean. But then again, if you asked me 20 years ago if it would ever be legal in the state of New Jersey under any circumstances, I would have said you're wrong. You're smoking something. You know? I mean, you know? So I can't say that it's fundamentally impossible.
Yeah.
I can't say that. But again, I and is it something that's likely to happen in the next 6 months? I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
But again, and everybody's talked about them. There are varying actions being taken throughout the county and you know, by communities in consideration of this discretion we've been granted. Mm-hmm. Can I just ask? Is there a consensus on 1 through 4? I mean, I just want to be sure for my notes. Okay.
Yeah, 1 through 4, I don't see.
Yeah,
I think
that's
all right. All right.
So again, like I said earlier, and that's why I was trying to ask Bev if she had, what could go wrong here. I see traffic patterns and things which zoning, the planning board, the board of adjustment, however, would review to make sure it complied, but. Given that there are people who own those businesses down there to sort of arbitrarily take away opportunities, I would err on the side of obviously safety for the whole community, doing the right thing for the whole community. And I'm just not seeing where, from talking to experts, that there would be a negative impact from allowing, with conditions, sale down, retail and distribution on Highway 31. That's my judgment. It's clearly a judgment issue.
Here's a question: How difficult? I mean, you're writing this up for 1 through 4 as being thing, and we it's coming back to us next meeting.
Yeah.
So can you give us the one with the 5 and the 6, and one that says none?
Yes, because we've done both, so yes.
Okay.
I believe I understand your question. But the yes on 5 and 6 would be as Abe has set forth with
conditional use.
As a conditional use.
Yeah.
With the regulations and going to the board and everything like that.
Yep.
And the other proposal, Mark, you're saying is
a no for 1 through 6.
Prohibit everything at least for now.
Yeah. Correct. Mm-hmm.
But in any case, both of them would have medical dispensaries limited to the B2 zone. I think we should.
Yeah, everything is limited to the B2 zone.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and the thing is again, we can't ban that. That's
right,
sort of a separate but obviously connected discussion.
Exactly.
If we're going to move something,
as long as we're moving one cannabis.
The clerk's office would prefer we do as few ordinances as possible just for, you know, publication and codification.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the...
Can I just clarify as to, I don't know, are there any that presently exist outside of that?
Medical dispensaries? Not that I'm aware of in Lebanon Township.
No. News to me.
If they would have had to have come to us for any kind of licensing, we would know. But
they would have at least had to have been through the zoning officer.
Then I'm pretty sure not. We can double check that, but not that I'm aware of.
I would think we would have anecdotally heard of it by now. All right.
So we will prepare both in the next meeting. The vote will be up for which one we actually introduce.
Okay.
I don't want to cut off discussion if people want to have any more.
Gives us 2 weeks to think about it more, and if there's some more research we want to do individually.
Yeah.
Then we have both options.
Are we taking a vote on this tonight of what we talked about? There's not going to be a vote because I don't want to say I'm in on any consensus with this.
No, there's no
just,
vote.
Just from my understanding, Bev, is that Mark's proposal is Mark's the instructions I'm taking is to present both options, the conditional use in the B2 for 5 and 6. And then the other being the banning all 6 categories. That was Mark's request / instruction to me, which would in effect give the township committee the option at our next meeting to vote in either direction on both of those proposals.
And are we going to limit the number of establishments that we will allow in that B2 zone?
Yeah. I think the subcommittee should work with them on some of those.
I just want to go on the record. I feel we should opt out and whatever. Next meeting we can deal with it. But
all right. Well, again, I'm being instructed to write that up. It'll be one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
So I will do that as instructed.
For now, at least to do it, to figure out what this cannabis commission is going to do.
Okay.
I just don't want to be in the newspaper saying I wanted to be a part of any of this. I just don't, for now.
Okay. Then any more cannabis ordinance discussion?
The subcommittee, you mentioned that the subcommittee was going to discuss the number of retail units in the B2. And
we'll have a proposal.
Okay.
But in discussion, that can still be modified at the night.
And then,
because I think we should talk to the planner and get some.
Yeah, because I mean the B2 zone is limited in length.
Right. Yeah,
and there's very little land that's available there. I mean, one of the businesses can certainly sell, but I think we are generally limited by geography and size.
The only other question I have in the B2 zone, is there residential homes in there too?
I will double check that, but to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Are you aware? Because I think it stops short of the one house.
I just threw it out there. The subcommittee can review that.
Yeah, we'll double check that, but to my knowledge, to my recollection, no. But we'll double check. Actually, it's here.
Never mind. Okay.
But we were also putting in the prior discussions, we were putting in 1,000 feet from school, bus stops, et cetera, et cetera. So certainly it would have to be, we'd have a distance from a residential property in the B2.
The ordinance that we will be seeing will state some of those?
Yes.
And it will go to the planning board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
did you see also that they're going to be lessening the sentences for people who sell things within the school zone?
I don't think I saw
They're making it less of a crime. That's one of, they had a bucket of not what they're calling nonviolent drug offenses that they want to, did you see that?
Bev, I think what one of the, it's Matt, one of the occurrences was is it's being descheduled, and the as a technical result, the drug-free school zone relies on the schedule, the scheduling of the substance, so that the argument...
You get what I'm getting.
Yeah, I do. That's what I'm saying. So I don't know that... I don't know that... It's the same result. It's not really changing the drug-free school zone. That, you know, for other substances, the drug-free school zone remains, and the enhanced penalties remain. But as an operational issue, yeah, by descheduling cannabis, you're correct. I think that's the point that was made.
But that would happen regardless.
Yeah, the point of it is it's less of a penalty for somebody who does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
If we're done on the cannabis, then the next on the agenda would be the administrator's report.
I have several items, Mayor. One, I spoke with the IT consultant with regards to the emails. I tried to follow up since we switched over from MyCorp, and he says that the exchange server is fully in progress, and all emails are going back and forth in a good manner. I also told him to purchase the Microsoft Office so we can get the deputy clerk up to date. She's still on Microsoft 7, not on 10, and other computers as well. I had a meeting with the representative from LOSAP, and kind of neat. I found out some history from him that LOSAP, when it was first originated, Lebanon Township was the one of the towns that started it all. So that was pretty good to learn. I just wanted to get a feel of the agent and the rep, so and get some history. Not only that, but some of the rules and regulations as well. But also next meeting, there's a subject to do with LOSAP that I'm going to have to put into executive session. I got some good news on hazard mitigation, the Huntington County Hazard Mitigation Plan. That was a very difficult plan to revise, because the last time it was revised was in 2014, but it's complete. As of last week, and some, you know, I worked on it diligently with the OEM director, coordinator, and Tetra, who's the consultant. And there's a lot of things that had to be filled out, from planning, zoning, all construction, from CFO, to know what the latitude, all the things in the town. But it's complete. So I sent everything over to them on Monday. There was some things that the only issue that I had with them was the fact that they had a different file than I had. So when they sent it over to me, still had to be some changes made. So I worked on that on Monday. Let's see what else I have here. I've been going back and forth and reading on the American Rescue Plan. So that is the coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds to provide a substantial infusion of resources to help turn the tide on the pandemic for towns like, you know, Lebanon Township. So I'm going to set up a meeting with the township engineer, the DPW director, and I'm going to speak with the CFO to see what the township's eligibilities would be with that. And the last item.
Well, if I could interrupt you, Jamie, I'm sorry, briefly. On that, I had a town, one of their big considerations on the recovery money was upgrading HVAC. So you might want to take a look at that. I don't know what the end result of that was, but one of my other towns was requesting that.
Well, that's good, because we need that. Updated.
Yeah,
so that works well.
I presume we do.
So that let me just write that down. But and I did the 544P loader, so that's it.
All right. On to new business then. Bev, do you want to do the Recreation Commission, or do you want me to read that out?
You can read that one out.
Okay. We've been asked to accept the resignation of Jill Davis from the Recreation Commission so she can spend more time with her new granddaughter. Is there a motion to accept the resignation of Jill Davis?
I make a motion to accept the resignation.
Second.
Roll call.
I'll second that with regret. With regret.
Yes.
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 Happy for her, but...
It was roll call, Bev. Was that a yes?
Oh, I didn't hear you say. Okay. Yes, yes.
And yes. On the original agenda was a historian's topic for a memorial bench that's been postponed due to personal issues, which takes us to newsletter policy, which Ms. Kohler also requested. So I'll turn that over to you, Bev.
Okay, well, what happened was Dr. Avalon was on the Board of Health, and he was publishing very good newsletter, news items to go into our newsletter, very helpful. But I saw the newsletter come out, and I realized, wow, he resigns. It gets back in December or something, and I just missed the issue. So I contacted Matt, and I said, is there a problem? I don't have a problem if there's no legal issue, because he has a business, and he is getting some benefit by having his articles in that newsletter. So Matt wrote back to me, which I sent out to everybody, that it is indeed a problem and that it should stop immediately if we don't have a policy in place. So that leads us to tonight. So
I think
I'm leaving it to Matt to tell
okay.
us what...
All right, well, I think the distinction is in whether or not it's being used to solicit business. And as long as it's not... My concern would be if anybody, I don't want to specify any particular contributor because I know we have more than one contributor, we should not allow the solicitation of business. I don't think incidental, so to speak, recognition or the fact of your people write what they know about. But for example, if a realtor is going to write that the market's really hot and if you want to sell your house, contact me, that's clearly a solicitation of business, and I think we would therefore need to have a formal policy to vet / procure that slot. We'd have to offer it to anybody. But if it's information of general interest or use, and there is no overt or even subtle here's my office contact, here's how to get a hold of me, or if you have these conditions, follow up, and whatnot, that we're in, again, we're in safe harbor there. So
you're changing what you said to me, because
I'm not changing what I sent to you, Bev. I'm advising with regard to all the factors, and again, if somebody is soliciting business through our newsletter, then it has to stop, and we need to enact a policy. If we are going to allow people to solicit business, we'd have to have a fair process in order to allow that. If the process is not being utilized to generate or solicit business, then I don't have those same concerns.
Can I just?
All right. Well, let me just read for the public. Hi, Matt. Dr. Avalon resigned from our Board of Health, but I noticed that we are still publishing his articles in our newsletter. I don't have a problem if there is no legal issue, but wondering if we need to vote again on allowing it, since he is no longer on the Board of Health and he is getting free advertisement and possible financial gains from the article. And you wrote back, we need to develop a policy if we are going to continue to allow it under these circumstances, and it will need to allow others to submit.
Right, and I guess the point...
Let me finish.
The point is...
There are many issues involved that will be very difficult to address, as we will need to be fair to all and also retain some degree of editorial control and also comply with the bidding laws. Unless and until we can develop a policy, we need to discontinue running these articles.
Yes, so, if they are premised on the attempt to solicit business. So...
You never asked that question. You know they're not the intent to solicit. That was not.
Well, you didn't tell me that, Bev. You premised your entire argument on the fact that they are.
That
whole email was misleading.
That's your conclusion.
You have reviewed his articles in the past. You know what's in those articles. None of it solicits business. That statement is incorrect.
Your statement of my state of mind, I have no idea how you profess to know what I know and what I have read. So
I asked you for legal advice, and you gave me...
And I'm giving it to you, Bev, and I'm giving it to you, okay?
That's okay. Go ahead. Just forget it. Take it off the darn agenda. I'll never ask you a question again.
Okay. Could I just give, for everyone's background, how the process works? And I don't want to get into a debate of whether it's a policy or a practice, but since before I've been on the committee... We've had a mix of appointed members and residents with expertise submitting articles to the newsletter. And in the case in point, the good doctor does not even list what hospital he's associated with. He's not writing an article on his actual specialty. There's zero evidence that he is getting any personal gain, or the example given of a realtor trying to say, call me for business. And there... To my knowledge, there has never been that. So what happens is, whether it's the PTA, occasionally a church minister, a historian article, an environmental article, we get articles submitted by experts in our population. As a volunteer service, we have an editor, Karen Newman, who prepares the newsletter. She knows what she's looking for in terms of, you know, non-controversial topics. You know, it's the old, if it walks like a duck, acts like a duck, you know, you can't describe it exactly what does controversial mean, but when you see something controversial, she reviews it, she raises a flag. It comes to the clerk. The clerk reviews or gets questions. To my knowledge, there hasn't been any questions. The clerk would then escalate through the mayor to the whole committee to say, is this an article that we think is appropriate or not? In the coming on six years that I've been on the committee, we've never had a question. To my knowledge, no one has ever said that there is a bad issue in our newsletter. So I only give this background to say it's not the wild, wild west and everything is going out and nobody knows what's happening. There are review processes and it's working, and my view would be it's working fine, and we keep it working the way it's going.
A simple question, and it wasn't meant to take the article out. It was a simple question to protect us by being proactive.
It's based on a false premise, though. It's based
what
on...
What are you talking about, a false premise? You answered it.
On
you
your
said
premise.
Under the circumstance
that the writer is soliciting business. I read one newsletter a year ago. I don't know how you presume to know what newsletters I've read.
We are continuing to publish his articles. You had seen two or three of his articles before he resigned. It was a simple question, just about being on the up and up and do we need a policy. And now you're changing your complete tune and making...
I am not changing my position at all. If we are soliciting business, we need to adopt a policy and allow all to submit. If that's your...
He was not soliciting business, and you know that's not what I asked.
It's exactly what you asked, but we'll disagree on that.
Go in the face, Matt. I don't care. You know, people change your mind, and then you changed your mind.
So. Now, I'm not changing my position at all.
Don't insult my intelligence.
I'm trying to understand what the issue is.
So, just
if I could maybe, because I'm the new guy here and I don't know anything, so I can come into this clear. I thought when this issue came up, the issue was that he has resigned from the Board of Health, right?
Correct.
And the question was, if he resigned from the Board of Health, can he still write in the newsletter? But I understand now that anybody can write in the newsletter. So whether he's resigned from the Board of Health or not is immaterial.
Right, unless we change a policy for that. But the current practice is, if you have an expertise and you're volunteering...
And you're volunteering and it goes through
and it's
reviews.
And yes.
So there's no issue here.
That's my view.
So I think it's all...
The problem is if somebody's writing, this is how it always was in a business environment. If somebody has a business and they're contributing that from the like, because they have a business. Like, in other words, if I write a letter about something, I'm not getting customers coming to me because my name is out there.
Right.
Because it is a form of advertising.
Correct.
That was the whole thing. I have no problem. I just asked Matt, is it okay? We didn't even have to talk about it tonight, but he gave me this answer that it's not, unless we have a policy. So that's why we're here talking about it. That's one of the reasons I'm mad right now. Didn't have to be on the agenda, it sounds like, because he changed.
But perhaps there's a misunderstanding here. Matt was answering the question from the viewpoint that there is a conflict in the article. We're coming from the viewpoint that there is no conflict in the article.
Abe, believe me, he's seen three of these articles. He knows what's in these articles. He knew what I was talking about, and I got that answer, and he knew what I was talking about.
Okay, but none of the articles to date have had a conflict.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, because they do go through an editorial process.
Yeah.
So there has not been...
No, they don't.
We don't have an editor?
They don't. The doctor publishes what he has. They don't go through editorial. I sent it to Matt. The first three articles, or two articles, I sent to Matt just to look at them to make sure it didn't, like, if in other words, if the doctor's advice, if somebody took it and that something happened to them and it didn't, you know, his good advice didn't work out for that person, could they come back from the township? So I had Matt look at these articles from that perspective. There's nothing in those, and he said, no, they're fine.
Bev, I think we're just using the word differently. I think what Abe means by editorial process is somebody reads it before it gets printed, and there's been oversight to say, is there a question or not a question? I agree. No one edits his wording, you know, his expertise. Right. He's relied on for that. So he's not edited, but there is an editorial process.
To verify that there's no conflict.
Correct.
And that's the only thing we should be worried about, that there's no conflict.
Yeah.
Well, the lawyer said otherwise up front, so now he's changed his mind, so that's fine.
Okay. I did not change my mind. If you keep saying it, I will keep repeating that I did not change my mind.
And if you keep saying that, I'll keep reading your letter.
Just read what you said, too, first, because then it'll make it clear.
I did. I'll read it again if you want me to.
Okay, no, maybe you should listen to it.
Nah.
Okay, all right,
so,
here we go.
So what I'm hearing, there's no motion.
Did you want me to read it again?
No.
I prefer not.
Did Mark say you wanted to hear it again?
No, I think you need to hear it again, but...
What are you talking about? I wrote it. I know what it says.
Clearly not.
Okay,
yeah, let's move on.
No action regarding newsletter policy.
Hey, Mark, if you heard what I said, did you see what Matt wrote back? Maybe he needs to reread what he wrote.
Okay, I think we're on to the next topic, which is presentation of vouchers.
I have one that applies. It's for the Whitmer Public Safety Group. It's for a Glock handgun and a trade-in for a total of $1,627.
I have one here for Cooper Oil Company. It's for replacement of the labor for replacement for an ECM motor and the ECM motor for the municipal building, which was $1,476.94. I have Morton Salt here for salt for the month end of January, $6,983.50. I have another one here for Morton Salt, which would be the beginning of February, $6,846.21. Griffin Automotive, this is the scanner, master tablet, wireless, $6,500. C&M Auto Parts, I have a bill here for $2,322.10.
I think I said one, and it was for eight Glock handguns and seven trade-ins. Just so it sounds.
I have first to Ardito and Company, the township auditor, the final 50% payment on the annual audit plus the municipal court audit for a total of $15,618. I have a series of perk tests to Joe Modzelewski totaling $1,100, and to the Township of Tewksbury, the first quarter payment for the shared administrator, $15,376.26.
I have two. One for Gebhardt and Kiefer for $2,838. My eyes aren't working. $2,838. And another one to the Lebanon Township Board of Education for $1,790,701.67.
None that apply.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Total voucher list of $1,857,678.98.
Sorry, I jumped the gun. I'll make a motion to accept the vouchers.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. A couple of items of correspondence. Tax collector's report for the month of May. Current month collections for the year 2021, $1,977,750.68. Prior year taxes collected in the month of $6,151.41. Interest collected of $2,988.54. Bounced checks of $6,174.91 for total collections of $1,980,715.72. Animal Control Officer report?
Nothing
to highlight. Which takes us to public comment on any topic anyone would like to address. Is there a motion to open the public comment?
Make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public, we have one in the room first.
I'm Mikowski, Rocky Run Road. Just a quick question. You're talking about the next meeting to have three possible ordinance written by the attorney.
Two.
What's the cost for each one of them in the beginning stages? What are we talking?
He's not informed us that this is a complex matter at this point, so I believe this is, I'm looking to see if he's agreeing this is under the retainer or if it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's under the retainer.
Okay, that's good. The other quick question is, I see you got some vouchers from January and February. Is that normal that far out?
I guess that's how Morton Salt built,
I didn't know what I mean?
On
our part or,
you know.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. If there's anyone on the phone who would like to make a comment, you'd have to press *6 to unmute yourself. Please identify your name and the road you live on.
Hi, this is Laramie Silver on Muskegon River Road.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I know you had mentioned about micro licenses at the very end of the discussion on the cannabis zoning and restrictions, and I just wanted to note that the micro licenses are not simply a smaller version of the full licenses. They wanted a smaller square feet, smaller number of employees. Those things are all true, but the bottom line purpose of the micro licenses is to benefit New Jersey residences and especially town residents. So there is requirement for 100% New Jersey ownership of a micro-licensed business with a two-year residency, so no danger of someone just moving here in order to be able to get that license. And 51% of that ownership has to be either town residents or adjacent town residents. In addition, all of their employees have to be local. So I just urge the committee to keep in mind, especially when talking about micro-licenses, those are specifically going to be benefiting the residents of Lebanon Township and our neighboring community. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Anyone else on the phone? You need to press *6. Seeing no one else in the room, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And we will be going into executive session on two topics. One is a personnel matter, and the other is a contract negotiation related to American Tower, as was described. So that I do not expect action any action after that. That will be Resolution 62-2021. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 62-2021?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 62-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. All right. Good night, everyone. Thank you. We'll be disconnecting the phone since we don't expect any action.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Sure.
Us old guys, you know.
That's what I
haven't heard the results.
I think tomorrow, I understand, they certify.
Is that right? Yeah, I was wondering.
That's what I was hearing.
Okay.
I mean, I can speak for myself that I'm okay.
Okay.
What's up, brother?
I asked her yesterday.
That got worse and worse. I got lucky, yeah. But I cut yesterday, which turned out to be the right call.
Yeah, that was a good call.
I had to get that
along.
At least I got some.
That happens.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we sitting on the side trying to.